Like, what you waiting on? Check checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands show. Turn your radio on. Kelsey just turned down like a field goal. So we in the zone. Got games like a stadium. I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother. Make you think with your medulla. You a student. I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students. Nah, everyone can do it. Do this. I ain't new to this. My style is rich. It's lucrative. Maneuver through it. You know it's fast, only. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. You could catch me every Monday. After kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Belly. Shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Belly. You know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Tony, Tony, Tony. Go BBS Radio.
Yeah, welcome to another week of the Tony Sands Show. You got to remember, last week now, we had a banger too. We had 11 rings on the show. When I say 11 rings, listen, you had Michael Irvin, you had Nate Newton, you had Charles Haley. Together, those guys have 11 rings. I mean, they got more rings than I have fingers. And we broke down the Cowboys. Now we're going, listen, we got a guy that's been to give it to us. He's going to let us know. We're going to break down what it's like to be coaching in an inner city school and how things play out mysteriously when things are being done behind the scenes and a coach is not knowing. So without further ado, let's bring to the Tony Sands Show my man, T. Black, Coach McFadden, former Ely High School coach. What's up, my man? What's going on, my man, T. Black? What's happening?
How you doing, Tone? Everything?
Man,
good?
I'm doing. Listen, man, I'm doing awesome, man. Anytime I can chop it up with you and get with you and talk about high school sports and where it's going and what's going on around the sport is a pleasure, man. How's your day been going?
Man, great, man. Actually, got out, been to the gym. Actually, I was meal prepping at the moment when you called.
Oh, wow. Okay.
How to get
stuff together. Now, you say, let's get into this, man. Let's not, you know, hold our guests hostage on what's going on. Man, listen to you. And this is why I had to get you on, because I'm trying to wonder, how do a coach like yourself find yourself at this point to where you're not coaching at all? You was at Ely High School coaching. Coach, what really... Let's clue my viewers in on how we get to the point to where right now you yourself is not coaching. After taking Ely to a stellar season, you got to remember, you guys knocked off one of the top-ranked teams in the nation in Chaminade Madonna. You had a great season. And so how do we, after having that kind of success, how do we find ourselves at this point?
It's the vision, Tony. And a lot of people, it's not their vision. It's a vision I had over probably 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the thing you just mentioned about playing guys like Chaminade Madonna, like that's right. What made me come to the inner city school. Like, I'm from the inner city, like, but I was able to play at American Heritage, fortunately under some great coaches. Like, and I learned the game. Not only as a player and became a coach, like just a student of the game. And I coached on that side. I coached at American Heritage for a while. We won a few state championships over there. And it's kind of the thing I wanted to bring back to the inner city, not more so much of winning state championships, just show them the pedigree that it takes and that private schools are not much more elite than we are. We're just behind them. Some of the things we do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and you say they're not that far away. Coach, what is it that some of the private schools are doing on a day-to-day basis that we're finding that our inner city schools are not doing? Because you had the chance to experience both sides. So what is American Heritage is doing that the inner city schools are not doing?
It's first and foremost, Tony, they take care of the people. Like, you understand what I mean by that? And when I say take care of your people, like what brings excitement to the program, far as education, far as school. Like, if people don't understand, like, you go, it's more than 10 private schools in Broward County, probably. Right?
Correct, correct.
But people only pay their money to go to the schools that's winning. Like,
correct.
I started out at Heritage back in 96, 97. And we probably had less than 600 students, probably.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
It was K through 12. But, you know, just becoming a winning program and a winning tradition, people don't mind paying their money to come and their kids to be able to come out on Friday night and enjoy their team and show their team spirit, you know, to a winning program. And that's anybody.
Correct.
Right? And a lot of people don't want to take that dive in being able to go and build something. Like me, my predicate is always want to be someone that comes in and helps the small guy out.
Okay.
That's a lot of my, you know, it had to be a lot of my downfall, because I'm not a title guy. I don't care about the title. I don't, you know, and people don't understand that. Like, if I'm the kicking coach, I'm the kicking coach, and I'm gonna try to be the best kicking coach there is.
Right. So coach, and you talked about taking care of their guys. How do we got to elevate the inner city schools to get them at the level of where these private schools are at? Or can we ever get them at that level? Because I'm quite sure private schools have more, you know, probably more, I'm assuming more lucrative dollars to move around than what you tell me.
I'm going to tell you this, Tone, and I found that out in the last 3 years. Private schools don't have much more to offer than the public schools.
Uh-huh.
They just offer.
Okay.
Like, because they have this thing, like, even with the stipends and what they call supplements in the school, like, in order to take care of these guys that's spending this kind of time, you have to extend that hand, because, you know, there's people that's getting this money and probably not even deserving of it, right?
Okay.
They're not touching any lives. They're not touching any kids. They're not bringing any meaningful business to the program, but it's all about who you know. And like I said, taking the reins, like, even if you take care of your guys, make sure
yes.
you take care of the guys that's taking care of you too, though.
Correct. Now, coach, you get the opportunity. How did it come about where you got the opportunity to coach at Ely High School? Check them viewers back down in that row. How did, when that job came up, when the job Ely came open?
It never came open. What happened was, like I said, Tony, I had a vision a long
uh-huh.
time ago, and people don't even understand that it wasn't about me being the head coach. It was about
okay.
somebody in the community, right, going to get this team, and no matter what, I was going to be there to try to, you know, do what I can do and be a part of that program and make
mm-hmm.
sure we get things going back in the right direction. It had nothing
right.
to do with me being the head coach. Unfortunately, you know, Mike Bailey became the coach, and Mike Bailey saw me coach for years. Like, he used to come to the games. He was a young buck
correct.
Coming to the games, American Heritage, watching us, seeing how we did things, and he knew who to come to. Like, he didn't know that I already was telling, and I already had told him. I said, man, I'm coming over. He
mm-hmm.
said, man, I probably need you this year. But I promised my guy, Glenn Fife, that I was going to stay with him for one more year. And you know, what happened, the incident that happened with him.
Yes.
And that freed me up to go and, you know, start the process over at Ely. Right? And
so,
that's how I ended up at Ely.
At Ely. Okay, now, and you speak about Glenn, and then you spoke about financial things, how that's got to happen. I'm going to play a soundbite from Coach Glenn when I interviewed him in reference to just what you were saying. Make sure that you're taking care of your people, because I find it now that a lot of high school coaches find themselves, especially here in the state of Florida, not elsewhere, not like Texas, not like Georgia and other counties, I mean states,
right.
they find themselves in the red. I'm going to play this soundbite. from Coach Glenn. It's probably about 19 minutes when I was interviewing him. Thomas, we have that soundbite ready, but we're having technical difficulties with that soundbite. But Thomas, let me know.
Yeah, but even with Coach Glenn, I can attest to that, man. That guy went over and beyond, like, for those kids and for that program.
Yes.
Even, you know, I seen him almost take his own life out there, like, you know, with health issues, just being out there.
Correct.
Providing and making them wait for these kids. And but the outcome with what he's doing right now is priceless. Like,
correct.
The best thing he probably could have did was get fired.
Glenn told me in interviewing him as he got deep into his interview, because of what took place, some of the things that started taking place, what took place at Dillard during the COVID situation, and how they were asking for that kid to possibly be suspended. And Glenn said he just couldn't see himself standing around while the kid getting suspended. And he's asked his young men to lay it all on the line for him. So he said at that point, he started maneuvering to maneuver out. We're going to go back to that soundbite, because my guy has that soundbite ready. Hold on, T-Black. We're going to go back to it. You ready, Thomas? Let's get back in deep into it. And as you said, that was what Coach Glenn was telling me. He said it just was not, he found himself really in the red at the end of every season. He just said he had just, a year ago, he said he had just paid off a credit card that he had, that he was using. He was just able to pay that credit card off once he resigned from the school, got into his consulting business, and he was able to pay that credit card off. Now, tell me this: with all that being said, and we speak about the money and things of that nature, how did you come? What made you come to the conclusion that, hey, guy, you know, I don't think I think I'm ready to walk away from the Ely program? How did that come about?
I wasn't, and I'm not for anything, I wasn't ready to walk away from the Ely program, because it's a great program in itself. We have some great people in the community, right? But at some point, you know, you're only as good as the guys around you.
Correct.
And just leadership in itself, I don't think they wanted me there.
So now, do you feel like, now you got to understand, you didn't graduate from Ely, and you know how this sometimes tends to play out. You graduated from American Heritage. Do you ever feel like they felt like you was one of their guys?
I'm going to ask you this, Tony. You're from Deerfield.
Correct.
What did you graduate from?
I graduated from St. Thomas. Yeah, I got it from St. Thomas.
Who knows that?
Yeah. I mean, like you said,
how many people ask me every day that I graduated? They thought I played for Ely all my life. Like, they thought,
wow,
I played for Ely all my years.
Correct.
That's how,
but now,
that's how much in the community I was, even as a player. Like, I was in Pompano every day. Like, unfortunately,
right,
I didn't get to play there because some of the circumstances that, you know, as a kid, what I was going through and things we were doing in the community, and I got an opportunity to go somewhere else and get a fresh start, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I never came back to Ely to play was they came up with the rule. Remember, they came up with the rule, if you practice in the morning, you couldn't change schools, because my brother
Correct.
Ended up changing schools and going back to Ely.
Yes.
Due to So I trust me, I'm more Ely than 95% of them people who went to Ely. Like, I can tell you, they can't tell you half the stuff or half the players that went to Ely, played at Ely, that they watched, that they went to the practice and sat there and soaked up all this game and stood next to these guys. From, I'm telling you, back when I, like, man, Ely was a dream. Like, it was a dream to play there. It was going to be a dream to coach there. So I'm not a, yeah, I'm Heritage, but I'm Ely at heart. Like, it's a no-brainer. Like, that's a.
And as you said, now, you said you didn't want to leave. You said you didn't, wasn't looking to leave.
No, but I don't think, you know, most people wanted me to grow there. And I'm not going to say most people, it was individuals. Like, I don't think they wanted me to grow there. And I don't think I was their pick for the head coach at the beginning. You know, it was just.
It just happened to be chance to where, because I'm still trying to see how you go, have the record you have, you jump out to a great start by knocking off the number one team. And then, like I say, you were second in your district, correct? You were second in your district, correct?
Right.
Okay, you're second in your district. You knock off one of the top ranked schools in, really, in the country. Even here in South Florida, they
right,
were.
But
they... Go, Jay.
Get deeper with this, Tony.
Let's go.
With the vision, it wasn't just the vision that I had for myself. I contacted a lot of these guys from Ely, former players, former guys. Hey, man, let's go over. And I got text messages in my phone, man, to show you, hey, let's go over and restore the school, man. Let's go ahead and get it right. Just, you know what I'm saying? I text these guys. So me being the head coach, I never even dreamed about being the head coach.
Correct.
I dreamed about being on that sideline, coaching our kids, knowing what kind of kids that we were going to get every year, because we was going to get our kids out of Pompano.
Correct.
Fair teaching to the team for the last 3 years, all our kids.
Well, yeah, I did see that. And then you was able to pull, you guys were able to pull some of the kids, even from Deerfield, that came and played on your team because the connection that their parents had with you because of where you had previously coached at Deerfield. And so those kids wanted to come with you. So now,
and a lot of people don't understand that don't come with just a guy that's moving. These kids have genuine love for me, and I have genuine love for them. And they know I'm gonna coach them hard, and they know I'm getting them in the right spot. So them coming over with me wasn't me. I'm not a recruiter. Like, I'm not big on recruiting. Like, if you pay attention, my loyalty is to the kids that I have, and sometimes that can be, sometimes that can be hindering as a coach. Because, the new football, people waver. Like, you know what I'm saying? And two things in life that I'm not going to do to a kid, and lies, both of them. Like, I'm not going to tell you that, oh, coach going to do this, coach can do this, and coach can't do it. And I got to turn that film on, look a college coach in the face and tell him, hey, this is the kid I was telling you about. He got to get as much as excited watching that film as I am.
As you do, correct. Now, tell me this, and I know – it was a lot of rumbling at one point in reference to I guess a lot of people were saying, will Ely get kids, into colleges? And that had came about when we was doing a show on that. How do you feel like that played any part in this whole thing unfolded?
No, I don't think so, Tom, because we signed like nine kids in this era,
Wow.
But I mean, the transfer portal.
Correct.
You sound like nine kids, so I can't.
I did see that.
Problem, right?
Yeah.
I can't say that.
And so if we can't say it's not about the recruiting, and we can't, we are not hitting you with that you're not an Ely guy, but it had to be something that was underlying around
It has nothing to do with Ely. It's individual. I'm not an individual guy. I'm not that individual guy.
Okay, you're not that guy's guy. Correct.
I'm pumping those guy. Like, I'm
right.
If it's the pumping those, I'm pumping those guy. I'm just not your guy.
Correct. So now you say your guy. Is that Meaning, and how the tears go when you're
That
dealing with.
That means ADs. That's mean, you know, people that's in charge, people that's running the, you know, running the show. I'm not your guy. Like,
but I'm quite sure when you say you're not, when you have an 8-4 season, and this is where I'm going with this. You have an 8-4 season. You got to be able to explain to your higher ups, to if you got the booster club, you got to be able to explain that, hey, we're looking to go in another direction. What would make you got to, as a, even as an administrator, AD, you got to be able to explain that, because now you're coming off a stellar season. It's not like you're coming off a losing.
I'm quite sure you don't heard this from your grandparents or your mama. You got sometimes you got to leave well enough alone. Right?
Yep.
And they sometimes you got.
Listen, I've heard it. You know, you hear that so much, like you say, from your grandparents. Sometimes you got your son, you got to just leave well enough alone. So when you decided that, how did they come to you? Hear this?
I couldn't work for $12 an hour, like.
Okay.
Like, I couldn't do it for help. Like I took it on the chin for 3 years. Like, and that was for the love of my kids and the parents that wanted me out there and everybody that needed me out there. And at some point we gotta take care of ourselves. Like decisions gotta be made, right?
Correct.
Decision to make, right? Everything we could have made everything, right? We could everybody could, you know, make things, sure. Right? And I ain't mad at nobody. I'm not mad at nobody.
Correct.
But at the end of the day, if you're not choosing me, I'm not choosing you. Like that's what it boiled down to.
And like you said, because not only do you when a decision like this is made, we got to be able to. How did you explain this to your players, the players that you bought there? How did you explain that?
I got them in the classroom. You know, it happened before, like almost right after break. Like I almost cried, but at the end, you know, I couldn't show the kids that, like,
right.
It was a hard decision to make.
Correct.
And, you know, to know that people is not appreciating the things that you're doing in the community around the school, and you know, everybody's out for themselves or trying to, you know, find something to, you know, get rid of you. Or when somebody came and told me that they was going to do it, I'm like, they can't be talking about that.
So you got wind of it through someone else that, hey, they are looking to possibly replace you.
Right.
When you heard that, did you go and approach anyone and say, hey, I'm hearing things in the community, or did you say, nah, that can't be true?
I went right to them, because I couldn't even hold it in, because I'm like, I couldn't even fathom the thought of that even happening at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But there was little things that was happening, like towards my job, you know, people getting write-ups for no reason. It was just a bunch of little things. And then I got a call from, you know, Coach JT Thomas, you know, asking me a few questions about, you know, having a bigger role on the team. And I was like, cool, man, whatever. Whatever we got to do to make the program work, let's do it.
Then he
asked me about being assistant head, and I was like, man, that's fine.
Hold on. You're the head coach. Now, you're not the assistant coach. You're still the head coach, and you get a call from someone else asking you what kind of role you want on the team?
No, what kind of role they can play. Right?
What kind of role he can play.
And I kind of gave him leeway and said, whatever you want to do. You know what I'm saying? Cause this is your school. Like, you're alumni here. You play here. Y'all laid the foundation. I'm cool with that, Tone. I'm not a title guy. And he asked me about being an assistant head. And then he was like, what you think about me being the head? I say, hey, man, let's sit down and talk. Just make sure they're going to take care of me.
Wait a minute. Hold on, T-Mac. Hold on. I hear what you're saying, but I'm having a hard time understanding you as the head coach. Someone comes up to you and asks you, how would you feel playing the back seat? That's kind of, I mean, did,
I'm not a, Tone,
know you're not a title guy.
honestly, it was.
I understand you're not a title guy.
I don't care for it. I really don't, Tone. Tone,
But I
we on the
understand
phone,
that.
right?
But let me explain something to you. That's and I'm gonna give you an example of what I'm saying. That's why I'm trying to really wrap my mind around what you just said. That's like me calling over to St. Thomas and saying, "Hey, Raj, man, what you think about me having a bigger role here? Or what you think about me as the head coach?" I mean, this is what I'm trying to wrap my mind around
But
when
I'm
you
gonna tell
speak.
you, I know Raj and I know me. Me and
Correct.
Raj are two different guys now. You know that.
I understand. You got
But
that I
but
know. And you just,
my thing was Tone, I'm gonna be honest with you, my thing was Tone, whatever for the program.
But okay. All right.
Whatever
Okay.
for the
I
program.
got you.
But my thing is I'm thinking me and you just having a genuine conversation.
Okay.
And then I don't know there's other parties involved. So I'm thinking me and Tone having a genuine conversation, and I'm
Correct.
gonna keep it real with Tone, man. Yeah, I'll do that for you. Yeah, I'll do that
Okay.
for you.
Okay. But now, okay, if he's saying that, do you feel, if he came to you like that, do you feel he had talked to somebody previously before he approached you with that?
I didn't even acknowledge it. I didn't even think about that. I was just, you know, JT, you know what I'm saying? Good guy.
Correct.
Like, you feel me? So I was just thinking, like, okay, let's make it happen. Whatever we got to do, just
to make it happen. Correct.
Let's make
Yes.
sure financially they're going to take care of me eventually.
So you
That
was cool
was
with
all
that. You would have been cool with that if they would have said, hey, if they would have came to you and said, hey, coach, listen, we're looking at possibly bringing, first of all, hey, before we say we're looking at possibly bringing in, you got to, first of all, you got to fire, you got to let me resign, or you got to fire me for us to start moving in that direction. Understand, you didn't have a losing season, so I'm trying to figure out, or they come to you and say, hey, listen, T-Mac, we understand, we love what you did for us, but we're looking to go in another direction. But we're still, with what you did for us, we're looking to take care of.
Man, that would have been that would have been the ultimate goal. Like, I would have been ecstatic. Honestly.
But you know, if when you talk to a lot of, if you talk to, I guarantee you, coach, if you talk, like you say, they're not like you. If you talk to 90%, probably 98% of head coaches in South Florida, if someone called them, even though they are alumni, call them and say, approach them with something of that nature, man, they're even when JT, okay, when JT came to you with that, did you go and approach the higher ups and say, hey, listen, have you guys talked to them?
No, not at the time. No.
Okay.
I didn't even think they know, so I didn't even mention it to them.
Okay.
Right?
So you thought that.
I didn't think they know, so I didn't even mention it.
Okay,
I was
so
just
now.
Going to sit down and have a sit down with him.
Okay. So JT gets
Yep.
the Deerfield job, and now Ely is vacant. No one's at Ely. Did he get the job before or after they decide to release you?
No, he got the job. No, he took the job. Like, I guess for some odd reason, I heard it was a deadline. So he gave them a deadline.
He gave them. Who gave a deadline? Ely gave him a deadline, or he gave Ely a
No,
deadline?
he gave Ely a deadline, I guess.
He get okay. All right. So what? I guess they didn't meet the deadline. What, to release you?
Of me to step down, of me to turn it over, however it's supposed to went.
Okay. Okay.
But
Okay.
like I said, I was cool with it, Tone. I just wanted to stay to take care of my family. I didn't care about that.
But what? Right. I know you're cool with it, but now, because you're cool with it, but then now you got to make sure that the kids that you bought in this program, parents and everybody, is understanding. I know you're understanding of it. You made that clear. But these kids and the parents that came to this program because of
the parents and the kids that came with me and the relationships that we got, trust me, if I would have went to them and told them, hey man, this is what we're doing.
Okay.
This is how we're gonna move with it. And
okay.
I'm good with it. You know what they would have said? Whatever you want to do, coach, we with you.
Which okay, now that's like I say, that's loyalty. But now, coach, I'm
Like even
starting to
right
hear.
now, even right now, if like we like them trying to find a coach right now. If I want if I was the type of guy that most people is, I'd be tearing the school up right now. Like I'd be moving kids
Correct.
left and right. I just
But now,
you know, but I'm not trying to tear Pompano apart. I don't at this point if those kids don't want to do anything, I probably don't want to do anything.
correct. Now, they're looking for a coach. They're looking for a coach. Now, and I've been hearing, I was looking at Facebook today, looking at social media a lot today, and I'm hearing another McFadden where
No.
they're saying that another McFadden is looking to possibly put his
No,
name in the hat on that job. I don't know how true that is. That's why I'm asking.
that's my brother. He ain't doing
Right,
that.
yeah. So they just talking. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, he just talking. He ain't doing
Hey,
that. He ain't doing that.
listen, when I saw that, I'm like, oh wow, that's kind of is that different? And I was in the barbershop and I asked some guys about that. I said, one guy came to me and said, so you think they're trying to, if they hire the brother, that'll get T to come back around? I said, I don't know about that one. I said, I know that'll be a
Listen, my thing, Tone, she got three daughters and a son, man.
that you gotta listen, that you gotta look at every day that you leave out
So
that house, that'll make
anybody,
sure I put them in the
anybody
best position.
and the thing for that, anybody that's willing to make sure I'm straight, I'm just here.
Yes.
I'm good, Tone.
So now it's rumors that you at Monarch, is that true?
No, I actually, I talked to Coach Davis a few times about we just chopped it up, but I'm not even that. I changed jobs because of what happened at the school.
Okay.
So I went over to Monarch to work.
Okay, to work. Okay.
Right? So
Right.
that's kind of how that got in the air. Right? You
Okay.
feel me? But
Right, right.
Davis a good guy. I coached with Davis a couple for 2 months at EU before the Rosemary, all that stuff happened with them. And I was over there with him for a while. I don't even know that. I was there. I was coaching with him.
Now, so in this process, all the kids that you brought to Ely and believed in you, are those kids looking to possibly may leave because they right now there's no coach there, and we're getting ready to now we're on spring ball. This is a critical time for high school football. I mean, are you getting calls from your parents saying, "Hey, man, what do you think we should do now?"
But and I'm still giving and honestly and with all truth, I'm still giving them the grace to even get somebody in there before you even pull kids out of there.
Because
Y'all.
everybody's, what, we're a week away? Tell me, are we a week away from spring ball?
Yeah,
So,
about
with
two
us,
weeks.
do they have anybody even acting in an internship role
Yeah,
or
they got Quentin Miller. He's over there right now. They have a coach.
so they got a coach.
They have a young coach in Quentin Miller. Yeah,
So he's officially the head coach at Ely.
he's definitely an intern right now.
Okay. So now
But they
they
got
got a,
like.
now this group of kids, your group of kids had your system. Is he pretty much operating offensive and defensive wise like your system? Because you understand now we're in a critical time for college football and high school football, and when it comes to recruiting process of high school football, how much is Mr. Miller, or how much has he been when it comes to understanding the college level of making connections with college coaches? How much, because I don't know him. I got how much of that you think is playing in your parents that you the kids you brought in? How much of that you think is on their mind? Like, hey, here we are now. We had somebody that had some, and now we got to hope that this guy has it, or if he already has it, how is my
And
kid?
to be honest with you, Tone, you just said a mouthful and it ain't crossed my mind yet. But I don't think Quentin's a bad coach. I think, end of the day, Tone, you got to turn that film on, Tone.
Right, and that's what, but that's what I'm saying.
Clinton can tell those coaches he's the best thing since sliced bread, right? The kid's the
Great.
best thing since sliced bread. That coach still going to actually turn that film on. So a lot
but
of
I
these
do.
coaches do all that talking and say they get kids recruited. You get
They
kids
don't.
looked at. You don't get kids offered. Like,
A kid get himself. I always tell people, a kid get themselves recruited.
kid
A
get
kid get
himself off.
themselves
You got to
recruited.
turn that film
Trust
on. And that kid got to be producing, man. That
me.
kid got to be out on that film to those college coaches just as well as you talking to them. So.
That's my biggest thing I was telling you in reference to when it comes to we're in a new era. And now that we've segued and we understand that, now let's segue, we're going to segue a little bit with that, segue into the new era of college football with the NIL. We've seen it start to play out from a standpoint of, I've been on the phone with a lot of my sources when it comes to the recruiting aspect of it. And a lot of my sources have completely told me there are some things that parents got to start asking when recruiters come in. They need to start asking these hard questions because this has turned to a business. We found out, as a matter of fact, with Nico from Tennessee, how this thing has got, when he was saying he was going to hold out on this. As a matter of fact, Thomas, do me a favor. Play that sound bite with the NIL holdout.
You were watching the Masters and the basketball and everything else. A story that shocked college football. Tennessee quarterback Nico Iomaleava is no longer Tennessee's quarterback. He's parted ways with the school, did it before the spring game on Saturday. The redshirt sophomore reportedly was looking for more NIL money from the school. He has entered the transfer portal, which opens tomorrow. Miami coach Mario Cristobal had this to say about the entire situation.
We're not going to do that at Miami. And I say that without any hesitation. You know, if anyone's thinking that, and they could be the best player in the world, if they want to play holdout, they might as well play get out. We don't want to do that. We don't want Miami to become that. Too many guys have sweated, bled, have laid on the line on that field to ever become that kind of a program.
We are hearing this. What? We've never heard of a kid deciding to hold out until we just got into this new era of college football. Now, you as a high school coach got to be been able to navigate through this same system because you got to be able to make your parents see, you got to make your parents aware of what's starting to take place. Have you in your time that you've been there and even in the time now, are you getting some of your parents calling you in reference to NIL and things of that nature? Because we're hearing some high school coaches are saying kids are told them they're not going to their school unless they get some NIL. Have you ever encountered that or starting to encounter hearing parents ask you or advisors of kids ask you in reference to NIL?
No. Because my kids, we're like family, man. The kids that I have, man, we're like family. So I don't think they would even. But remember, Tom, I saw you back in what? December.
Yes.
And we had
yes.
talk way before it happened. What I told you, I
yes.
said this is gonna be minor league. It's not gonna be. It's
yeah.
not. It's gonna be like minor league baseball.
And when you say that, listen, I was on. Like I said, I was on a. I got my sources were dead on when it came to this. My sources said, okay, Tony, make sure they can't speak on it, but I can speak on it. That's why they was giving me the information all week. They said, Tony, make sure you tell parents. There's two types that words that they got to use when college recruiters come in into their home. Is this revenue based? Is this revenue based or can this be partially scholarship based? Why? Because it's going to amount to taxable dollars. Say it, and this is exactly what, go ahead, T.
No, I'm listening to you. I just said, oh my God, that's crazy.
Yes, they said, this is what they said. It's either you got to ask it, and this is why. If you're a parent and you look at, they said, okay, we're going to give you $200,000. We're going to offer you NIL of $200,000. Now, you can ask a couple questions, okay? You can ask, is it revenue-based or is it partially back? Can I back it out to scholarship-based? Now, the majority of inner-city parents that don't understand, you tell them $200,000, Coach, what do you think? What do you think they're looking at when they see that $200,000?
They see $200,000 that they can spend.
Okay. Now we say $200,000. I want everybody, I want you to follow me. And this is why I told parents, you gotta listen. This is coming from a great source. I have a great source when it comes to this. Like you said. Okay. Ask them the two questions. Is revenue based or can I back it out? Some of it as scholarship based. Because understand, if you got $200,000, right? Take revenue based, and the majority of colleges are going to hope that you say revenue based. Understand, once you take this $200,000, there's no more Pell Grant. You understand that, right?
Wow.
There's no more Pell Grant. Why? Because it's $200,000. You're not in need. You're not in that need category anymore. Not only that, if your parent was getting assistance, and they're filing you still, they lose all their money. They lose all their assistance. If they had housing, they lose it. Guess what?
Wow.
There's no, now that she loses off of $200,000. Okay. Now let's follow me. On this $200,000 that you signed to take, understand, you got to get their assistance. I'm saying.
No, I ain't know that song.
Uncle Sam, breaking it down to you. Uncle Sam got to get his cut. Okay? When Uncle Sam get his cut, understand the advisor, the agent, got to get that cut. So if you, and then it depends if you're in a state where there are state and federal taxes. Okay? Get it down to 160. Know what's the percentage that you're giving your agent? Okay, we're at 160. Now, if you're an out of state and this is a school that's an out of state school and it may cost you, I'm gonna say 80,000 for that scholarship. Now you're gonna pay that scholarship. Now, if you say, I'm taking. You're getting taxed. The government's taking that money off that big $200,000 here. Understand it? So when they take that $200,000, the agent, you know what your agent's asking? Say, I'm getting the money.
Wow.
Yep. Which is.
Yeah, but you know it's going to be, eventually, you know it's going to be deeper than what they, you know, what it laid out to be. Hello.
160. You're down to what now? So we break that down. So once we break that down, it's going to lead us into about 80,000. Okay? Now, this is where it comes into tricky. I haven't backed out. I didn't back out the state taxes in that when I broke that down. I just gave you, and I didn't give you the agent's cost. I just gave you just that much. I gave you that much of that 100 and some of that 200,000. So now, when all that's said and done, a kid is probably going to be left with $20,000 out of that $200,000. But before we go off, I want to make sure. Now, tell them, this is what you can tell them. Okay, hey, listen, I want that scholarship back. I want scholarship revenue backed out. What I mean by that $200,000. Okay, you tell them, hey, listen, I want to pay for tuition and books out of that $200,000. That's got to come out first. Pay for my tuition and books because that's not taxable. So now, you know, out of that 80,000, out of that 200,000, if you were looking at 120, that 18, all you're going to get taxed off now is the 120. You're not getting, because you can't, there's no, you can't, on tuition and books, there's no now room and board. It's a different thing. That's why you say tuition and books. You understand what I'm saying? You say tuition and books. So now you're only getting taxed off the 120. You know, you give your agent their funds and the state, if you're, you know, in state taxes, possibly, you're looking at now to try to pass a law that these kids play in different states, that they're not getting taxed in every state. That they're not going to get taxed in every state like the NFL guys. Every state that you go in, you get taxed. When it comes to 200,000 and you do the scholarship based, you're scholarship based here, you got to make sure, like I said, that parents, you can't file for the kid. You're not going to be filed. The smartest thing that a parent can do is say, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to file for my child. He's going to be independent, but we're going to form an LLC and we're going to tell the college to pay the LLC. And the LLC in turn pays the kid. So now the kid can get the tax breaks from on having his own LLC. You follow me, T-Mac?
Yeah,
but you form a, let the parents form an LLC for the kid. And now the kid, that $120,000 is going to the found to the LLC, and now they're able to maneuver once they get with their accountant or whoever, and they can maneuver a little bit. You see what I'm saying? They can maneuver a little bit through that 200, that 120,000. But the best way that my guy was telling them, said, hey, listen, tell them to back that scholarship out of that 200,000 before they give it to you. So that way you don't get hit on the whole 200,000 and wind up at the end of the day with only taking home about $40,000, $40,000 to $20,000 when this is over. But then you've lost, your parents have lost their whole assistance program if they're on assistance. You see what I'm saying? So we got to make sure that our parents are asking the hard questions when it comes to this stuff, because it's tough enough for college kids to navigate through all this, and now they're becoming to be employees. My source also told me to say, ask and tell them, listen, they're going to start hearing the word fired, that they're going to get fired. Because now they are what? They're employees of the university. They're becoming employees. So those are some of the things that T-Mac, that they, that you, I'm giving you, so that way you can start advising and tell them to take whatever a recruiter come in their house and say, make sure it's put it on paper, make sure it's written down and signed, and they get a copy and the guy get a copy. Because see, I can tell you something, and if it's not written down, it's not valid. I never said it, I can't recollect, but if it's written down, and then you take it to your attorney and let your attorney look over the whole deal. There, we're at that level. So that's why I'm saying there's going to be ways to navigate through this, but it's going to be the smart way. Don't take the whole 120, I mean the whole 200,000, because you're going to get hit on that. That taxes, if it's state tax, out of state tuition is expensive. So make sure that they back it out. They back that scholarship out of that. You follow me? So these are some of the things that they got to clue in on when it comes to the questions that's got to be asked of their these recruiters that are coming in, because recruiters are slick. You got to understand, they go to training every day to learn how to beat someone in their household. You know, they're trained separate when it comes to separate different type of ethnic background. So that's what I'm saying. They're smart in it. They're getting educated in it every day. We're just trying to navigate through it singly. So they're getting on top of the game every day. So this is why I'm saying we got to make sure that we are on our game with our parents and making sure that our people understand the difference between the two. Make sure that they understand it. So that way at the end of a kid is not going to spend money on necklaces and cars, and all of a sudden when it's time to pay Uncle Sam, there's no more money left. You see what I'm saying, T?
Yeah,
because
now you want to jail.
What'd you say?
I said, if not, you going to jail.
Churches. You're gonna have to pay Uncle Sam. So, and you know our young folks want to buy these necklaces and cars and things of that nature. So this is some of the nuggets, and I'm gonna be giving them each, and because see, like I said, I get my information from a reliable source. That's why I'm the mouthpiece for our community from our reliable source to make sure that it's being done. But like you said, this is what's going on in these meet. This is what's going on in meetings. These people are starting to use the word fire. They're not waiting on you to develop. Either you ready to go or you're out. You are employees. You are becoming employees of this university. Share revenue. Wanted it. This is what comes with it. So this is why I'm saying they got to make sure that they are at parent. Our parents are asking the tough questions. And, you know, because I had a young lady ask me in reference to a trust. And I asked him, and he said, no, they can't put that in no trust. They're going to wind up going to jail. You got to understand, a trust is just something that you have when you're trying to leave something behind. You can't put that money in a trust and still file for the kid. You're going to wind up being in trouble. And like I said, we got, you know, my producer's telling me that we got 3 more minutes left of airtime. But I wanted to get into that because we talked about the recruiting. We led into that, but I'm trying to make sure that, you know, looking at all this and how this play out, where do you see yourself, T, within another year? Do you see yourself as a head coach in a public school or in a private school?
I just want to coach, so I don't care. I don't care about being a head coach, man.
Right. You just want to get in there.
I just want to be a coach, a filler in the community, kids, man, and making sure these kids are doing the right thing. Just how you just said about all the things that they don't know.
Yes.
Leading them in the right direction, man. That's my goal.
And Tita, I love that. Like you said, it's bigger than you. It's a community effort. And I'm just, like you said, you just want to be able to give them some nuggets on exactly what it takes to get there because you've been there. So you want to take them, make sure that these kids are prepared. So when they get there, they understand the game, understand the new game. Of what's out here now, because like I said, what'd you say, T?
I said, NIL been going on.
Yeah, it's been going on, but now it has become legal to take place. You know, so now when it's legal, you gotta pay. You're gonna have to pay out a lot of that money. So they're, like I said, they're trying to make sure rules are in place that these young kids don't have to pay taxes in every state that they play in. You know, just like when you look at the Nico situation, we got a minute left. And T-Man, listen, I want to thank you, my brother, for taking time out today. We got to chop this up each and every time when it comes to a coaching segment of this. I got to bring you on, man. And we're going to continue to educate our community and our young men on how to navigate through this new era of college football, of high school football, because they move in high school football just as they do in college football. Man, thank you for taking your time out to join the show. It's been a pleasure.
Appreciate you having me, man.
Thank you. My pleasure, my brother. Peace. All right, listen, we're closing out here on the Tony Sands Show. Another week of nuggets and knowledge. We don't play here. We're going to give you the nugget, and we're going to give you the knowledge. Until we meet again next Thursday at this time, continue to stay blessed up. Get your knowledge up. Educate yourself on what you are doing so that way you have the knowledge and you are ready to excel. We're signing off here on the Tony Sands Show, and I must say peace. We're gone.